So welcome to another episode of the Fuck It List podcast with me, Nick Bramley. The Fuck It List is the antidote to uninspiring goal setters, and we just challenge those people who put stuff on social media just for the clicks and just for the likes and just to try and pretend that they're living the perfect life. It's not aimed at anyone in particular, it's a bit of fun. But my guest today, Ben Wilson, Managing Director of MPM, is a long-standing friend of mine. This should be good, no pressure. He's a professional Yorkshireman. He's got lots of opinions on things. I'm really looking forward to finding out what's on Ben's list of three things he has zero intention of achieving and the one thing he'd like to do more of. So without further ado, welcome to the Fuck It List podcast, Ben.
Thank you, Nick. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I go back a long way. We always have a laugh and a chin wag over a beer every now and again. And I just thought when I'm looking at the early guests for this, I think this will be episode 7, the early guest list, I thought I've got to get Ben on quite early because I'm sure it'll be fun. So without much further ado, we talk about three things you've got no intention of doing and one that you do. And I share one of each with the audience so that you know, we break that up a little bit. If I shared three every week, I'd soon run out because I've got to repeat this every Friday. So your first one, I think it's quite ambitious that you would even think that you could achieve this in the first instance, but even if they offered you a place tomorrow, this is something you've got no intention of ever taking up. What's your first one on your Fuck It List, Ben?
Space travel. not for any fear of flying or heights or for it being uninspiring. I'm sure it's, you know, awesome. And I suppose it's a bit deep. I've listened to many of these podcasts, had a good giggle. Some things I've gone, yeah, fully agree, we'll be doing that. But just the sort of the rush for space travel and making it commercial and so on and so forth. And I still look at this planet and think, well, we can't get water to everybody on the planet. We've got people living in poverty. We've got people moaning about NHS and everything else and healthcare in other countries, not just NHS. But I'm like, why spend money on that when we've got so many issues right here, right now?
We don't even know. We don't even know, do we, what's at the bottom of the ocean, let alone what's it. Why do we need to know what's in space? Has Elon Musk not been on to you this afternoon offering you a place on his next shuttle or anything then?
No, apparently I'm about 7th on his list, where I were on your podcast list. So he's got in touch. He's got in touch with some others before. But even, you know, the traveling Musk wanting to get to Mars, etc. Fantastic. But it just seems like we want to get to another planet because we go, oh, well, we've ruined this one. So we'll leave this one behind and move on. I just think there's so many other issues in the world right now that if you put the, you know, the great and the good and the entrepreneurial minds together, there's so much more that could be done than trying to sell a commercial flight to space.
I don't think the great and the good and the entrepreneurial minds would come up with space travel as the answer, would they? So I totally agree with you on that one. I think it's a vanity exercise by a few mega rich people. And you sort of wonder, it feels a bit like what you said there. We'll be leaving the Earth out in the recycling dumpster collection and moving on to the new one, won't we? If that's kind of what the ambitions are. And it seems a bit of a wrong thing to be aspiring to. So, yeah.
It's just, like I say, it's plus, I never think I'll actually earn that much money to be going on that commercial space flight because numbers are bandied around. It's going to be fairly steep. So as you rightly point out, as a Yorkshireman, I am unlikely to look at it and go, I think I'll spend my money on that.
That's for me. I'll go with that. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I quite like the idea of the weightlessness, but I'd probably have to lose a bit of weight before I got into weightlessness anyway. But I think in terms of, I like the idea of that, but you can achieve that in a blooming sort of, I guess, a simulated environment anyway, can't you?
Yeah, there'll be so much about it that'd be, you know, absolutely awesome. But just for me, the money that could be spent in other areas, I think it's just the whole conscience thing, you know. We stored a hot tub for somebody, 18 months ago. Yeah. My two girls at the time, at 19 and 17, I were top dad at that time to have that over Christmas period. my wife, she just couldn't handle the fact that it was something that was switched on and could keep you warm sat outside, but there were still people sleeping on streets. So both my kids were both like, oh, come on, we could keep this, we could keep this. It's brilliant, isn't it? And Lorna were just, nope, not having it. It's money spent for keeping some water warm that you keep having to chuck chlorine in to keep it clean. And we can sit in it in warmth and there's still people on streets. No, I'm not having it. And I sort of went, yeah, no, fair point, Lorna. Off we go.
Off you go. I'll be honest with you. The whole thing about the those sort of jacuzzi home sauna things, for me, just all wrong. Anyway, I think they're a petri dish of bloody chemicals and dead skin and your hot tubs.
Manky. Some of my thought, Nick.
manky. I wouldn't be good. It's not on my book, my fuck it list today, but I might add that to a future one. Definitely not a big fan of the hot tub. So your first one, you're not going to space. And actually, you know, for some really, you know, valid reasons and not for reasons that people might think, you know, scared of heights, scared of, you know, fear of flying and all that kind of thing. But, you know, really genuinely agree with you on that one. Your second one's a bit more fun, I think. We'll do your third one now because I think that's a bit more fun. We'll lighten the mood. It's to do with an article of clothing. Well, clothing. What is it you got no intention of ever wearing, Ben?
I never have any intention of wearing a pair of Crocs.
A pair of Crocs. They are absolutely hideous, hideous items of apparel, aren't they? They're just, if they're aimed at kids, when I was a kid growing up, we used to have those jelly shoes when you went to the beach. And those jelly shoes were aimed at kids who were about 5 or 6. After that, jelly shoes, no. Grown men wearing Crocs. What's your aversion to them, apart from the obvious that they are shit?
I don't have one other than they are shit. I know I'll probably get, you know, hammered for it, but just for dramatic effect, I did tell both of my kids that if I was ever seen wearing a pair, they could shoot me. And it is just fashion. I've had some posts around or some comments around fashion, etc. The fashion industry sells. It has to change fashions or it comes to a standstill.
Yeah.
Because we don't wear clothes out. We change them because we fancy a different shirt or whatever. Fashions have changed. And I look at it and I think, I would have been hammered by my mates if I was seen wearing a pair of white socks 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago. And now it's cool to wear them with sliders or Crocs. And Crocs, as you say, they're a bit of an upgrade on some jelly shoes, which your kids, like you say, at age of 5 or 6, if you bought them another pair at 7, 8, 9, like, give over, Dad.
Yeah. Just a thought on the Crocs, though, right? You mentioned there, it's actually now fashionable apparently to wear Crocs with white socks and shorts. Now that was train spotter granddad sort of paedophile look, wasn't it, when I was growing up? That was to be avoided at all costs, really. You know, you see somebody in that attire, you're miles away as a kid.
Yeah it may not be politically correct to describe it as those things, but you would have avoided that person walking down the street. Or they would have, you know. No, like I say, you just see people in granddad sandals and a pair of white socks, and you're thinking that sort of cancels out you wearing sandals.
It does.
What you're wearing socks for?
Let me tell you what I saw on my return flight from holiday at the weekend. Right, and it was a guy sat across the aisle from me. I'll come to the Crocs in a minute. He had a branded T-shirt on that said Greggs. For those who don't know, Greggs is basically Britain's pasty and sort of sausage roll empire. So he was a big guy, bigger than me. He had a big black T-shirt on with just Greggs on the front, the logo. He had a pair of blue shorts with Greggs on his shorts with the logo. And he had a pair of Crocs that said Greggs on his Crocs. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, obviously you like Greggs, mate, but who's dressed you? And Really? But it was the Crocs that offended me the most.
Yeah.
Crocs offended me the most. They are hideous. Is there any case to be made whatsoever by anyone on holiday, on a beach, adult, saying that they own a pair of Crocs? Is there a case to be made, Ben? I don't think there is, but do you think anyone could make a case for owning and wearing a pair?
Not through my choice. And I'm sure my best mate has some. I've never seen him in, unfortunately, or he would have been ribbed from pillar to post.
And he wouldn't be your best mate anymore, probably.
But the whole, the Greggs thing, what's that about? It's like double denim, exaggerated. You've got him on for a bet.
Black t-shirt, blue shorts, and his Crocs were some kind of pale green, but they all had the branding on. I think to myself, wow, did you get dressed in the dark? Anyway, so we'll never see you in Crocs.
At least he could just slip his Crocs on, though, for ease.
That's not even an excuse. Sorry, I'm totally with you, Ben. They are a hideous apparel. I don't even know what you call them. Wouldn't even call them shoes, but they're just... So Crocs are off your list. Now I know what is your Achilles heel, literally. I might end up sending you a pair just for fun. I might get you a pair of Greggs and send them. What size shoes? I'll find out your shoe size off somewhere.
At least brand them up with MPM.
No, I'll put the Greggs ones on, mate. Right, okay.
Sacrificial burning.
So your other one is quite personal. A lot of people on this podcast have, said things that they don't want to ear piercing or they don't want tattoos or whatever it might be. Yours is in a similar vein but for different reasons. What's your definitely not going to do?
Mine is definitely not going to introduce cosmetic surgery or any form of anything artificial to try and keep me young. I just see it as cheating. And it's a bit like if Lorna said I'd really like Botox in my top lip, I'd be like, well, I can't wait to come home and give you a kiss and your top lip not be moving. I mean, I just don't understand it.
Well, the ones I've seen, the worst examples of that, and I won't name names, but we could all name some of these celebrities who've had the lip things done, and they've come out and they've turned previously pretty or attractive, celebrities into kind of, I don't know, look like you can stick them on the wall, don't you? They're hideous, false, they're just overdone, aren't they? That's just the lips, but I mean, we talk about plastic surgery, we talk about Botox in your forehead. Nothing at all.
No, I do. I just, like I say, I've never, in times of people going to gyms and stuff, and the whole idea of steroids and stuff like that. If anybody that knows me personally, if you've seen the size of my nose, if you're gonna downsize something, then my nose might be a good start, but. I was born with it, and I'll stick with it.
Is it called rhinoplasty when you get your nose done? Is that the one? I think it's called rhinoplasty.
Yeah, that's how much I've not looked into it. So no,
I think that's it. I might be completely wrong. That might be something else. But yeah. You look a bit Benjamin Button to me. You get younger by the week, anyway. So you're in good DNA there, aren't you, Ben? To be fair.
Well, it's one of them where if I enjoy, I enjoy a drink, but. I wouldn't want to be doing it every night, and I try to eat healthy and so on and so forth. And I'm sure that, age is catching up on me. I've no intention of dyeing my hair. But for every time I get my hair cut, there's a few more silver bits as it falls down as running clippers through my hair. And I just, why would you want your face not to move?
Why would you want it to not look like you sometimes? Well, when they're finished, it's like, they always look a bit startled, don't they? They look like a cat that's been sort of frightened by something. And the head, the face doesn't move and the eyebrows don't move and all that kind of thing. To be honest, men age gracefully, people say, don't they? And a bit of graying at the temples and whatever. So I guess it's more popular with women than it is with men, but I suspect there's a lot of blokes get it without us knowing, it's something that's their choice, but not for me. I'll be honest with you, I've got more wrinkles and tram lines and all sorts of things. I don't know where to start with me. If you're trying to make me look younger or better, I think you'd need more than bloody cosmetic surgery. But I can it is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like I say, it's almost like opening wardrobe doors and discovering a Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe. And he, you know, for all the money that Simon Cowell's got, you know, very successful, he, you know, made up, having a cracking life. And but his face don't move, and he spent a lot of money on his face, but he hadn't got a stylist. You'd think if you had all that money, you'd pay somebody that could actually advise you what to wear so that you looked a bit younger or better.
Well, he's forever wearing those black V-neck jumpers, isn't he? That's all I ever see him in, and you know, and with a startled look on his face. So we're definitely not going to go into space. We're definitely not going to wear Crocs. If you wear Crocs in space, that'd be interesting. You're definitely not going to artificially do anything to make you to reduce the ravages of time, shall we say, Ben? You're gonna be natural in terms of how you grow old gracefully. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I always say I share one with the audience, and my Phuket list this week is I am just not ever going to be the guy who goes to see a tribute band. What the hell, right? And I say this because just having come back from holiday, you're walking down a resort. I was in Mallorca, Santa Ponsa, nice resort, a few bars on the strip that are all a bit sort of, you know, you can imagine Irish bar and Scottish bar and all that kind of thing. And they've got tribute act, and it's like, well, you're not the real guy, you're not the real woman, you're not the real band, so what's the point? And they invariably think they're better than they are. And why would you? And then people go, oh, this Rod Stewart, like, tribute act was brilliant. Well, first of all, Rod Stewart himself's rubbish. And secondly, a tribute to Rod Stewart is just like basically having a photocopy of the original and thinking, oh yeah, that's like an oil painting. Just the whole tribute band concept just drives me insane. I'll tell you a quick story, right? I once saw a pub in London advertising, and this was said on the board outside, Thursday night, 9 o'clock, Chaz and Dave live, and underneath brackets, not the real Dave. So basically, the original Chaz and some bloke, and it's like, Ree, what's that about? Who's Chaz and Dave brackets? It made me snigger every time I think of brackets, not the real Dave. It's like, is he even called Dave? Chaz and Fred or whatever. Just tribute bands, not for me. And every Christmas, your hotels start pushing out stuff, don't they? Come to your Christmas party, we've got a tribute. We've got ABBA tribute. We've got Queen tribute, whatever. I've got a big regret I didn't go and see Queen when they were out. But I wouldn't go and see Queen now because Queen was Freddie Mercury. He was an essential element of that. So I don't care who's good now and who's singing and who's, you know, taking over. He's not Freddie Mercury. It's not Queen. But at least they're trying. But, you know, the tribute act of someone who vaguely looks and vaguely sounds like Neil Diamond, just not for me at all. What's your view on the old tribute acts, Ben?
To be honest, probably similar, because I've had a lot of people where they've gone, you know, we've seen, you know, Pink Floyd tribute act or this tribute act or that tribute act, and they've gone, you know, they're so good. I've just never been inspired to book tickets and go, I'll go to that, because there's probably too many really good real bands that I've still not seen or still want to see. That I'd go, well, I'll spend my money on that. It's a bit like the difference between spending money on space travel or getting water to people.
Yeah, true. I'll tell you what the famous one is, the Drifters, apparently. I don't know how big the Drifters were originally in 1962.
Nobody's bringing me a coffee.
Nobody's bringing you a coffee. Thanks, Sarah. I've just had a coffee delivered, which is great. 1962, when the Drifters first came on the scene, they must have been the biggest band ever, because there's so many different versions of the Drifters now. One bloke who happened to be in one song in 1971 is now, he's got his Drifters tribute act or whatever. Just not for me at all, the tribute act. Not at all. Not interested. That's my Phuket list for today. But we always finish with two things, one from you and one from me. Things that you'd like to achieve or things that you'd like to try, things that you'd like to at least put on your bucket list and tick off before you shuffle off this mortal coil. What is on your list, which is, you think, probably unachievable?
Yeah, I'd like to think it is achievable, but one of my greatest ambitions would be to see Pink Floyd
The original Pink Floyd, or would that be Pink Floyd with two F's and a silent M?
Yeah, no, the original. Unfortunately, there's not too many times I'll look back and regret. But I remember a good pal of mine had early 90s. He was getting tickets for Pink Floyd at Earl's Court. Oh. And I said, I'm really sorry, mate. I've no money at the moment, blah, blah, blah. So I'll leave it. I'll get to see him another time. Oh. And he even said, I'll lend you the money. But I've never really liked borrowing as such.
Yeah.
And I said, no, honestly, you're right. I don't want to be in debt to you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'll see him when the next tour. And I've always kicked myself because there were some of my best mates.
Yeah.
He went down and that were it. And there's probably about as much chance of seeing Pink Floyd reform as hell freezing over, as they say. So
yeah, they're not big friends. They're still all alive though, aren't they? But they're just not big friends at all. Unless one of them gets a massive tax bill, there's no real incentive for them to get back together, I don't think, is there?
No, not really. I think, you know, it's another one of them where it's just a huge band. You know, if Oasis got back together, they'd fill Wembley multiple times over. They wouldn't really have to tour around. They could just do that as one huge gig. Like I say, there are other things on there that I'd like to do in life, but that, you know, for a bit on and to end on a light note and basically sometimes don't put it off to be on your bucket list. Just
it's on that famous phrase, isn't it? I'll catch them next time. That's the bugger, isn't it, really?
Yeah, sometimes you just got to think, fuck it, I'll get on with it now.
Exactly. That's a good point in which to end your bar. I always finish with one of mine, the one thing I'd like to do. Mine comes back to something I've just done recently. I only ever read on holiday. I'm very proud of myself. I read 4 books in the last 11 days of holiday, but I don't normally read. I don't get time. I don't prioritise. I do get time. I think I don't prioritise it when I'm at home. So I read Billy Connolly's autobiography and I really enjoyed it. And I've not been a massive autobiography reader previously. I've read Alex Ferguson's, read a couple of others in my time, but not avidly. So my bucket list is I'd like to read more autobiographies. And the one that's top of my list at the moment is Bob Mortimer. His new autobiography that's out. Saw a guy reading it on the plane. Too late. You know, I'd already left Smith's at the airport to get a copy. And I just said to him, you know, how's it going? He said, oh, it's brilliant. It's warm. It's humorous. It's, you know, endearing and friendly. And I watched Bob Mortimer in that fishing show he's got with, can't remember his name now, the guy from the Fast Show. Paul and Bob go fishing. I'm not into fishing, never done fishing particularly, but it's the most gentle, easy, lovable watch on a Sunday night when it's on. Just two fellas who enjoy each other's company, having a laugh. And I just think his book would probably reflect that as well. So reading more autobiographies and Bob Mortimer being the first one on my list, and I'll have read that by the time I record Phuket List number 87 when I've been on holiday again next year, probably.
Yeah, I actually read that when I was last on holiday. I actually took it as a reserve book because somebody advised me to read more fiction to sort of switch off from work, etc. And I was kindly given a copy of Captain Corelli's Mandolin as I was going to Kefalonia by Donna Alexander, who books our holidays, which was a very nice gift. But as it turns out, it was an absolute crock of. And I've decided that I'll probably never read fiction again. I'll just stick to my autobiographies or business and leadership stuff.
Captain Corelli's Mandolin, I'll be honest with you, I think I started watching the film and the film was probably as slow as the book. So nice one, Donna. It's a nice gift, a nice gesture. Probably the wrong recipient, I would imagine, yeah? Would that be fair?
Yeah, because I do enjoy reading on holiday because sometimes it's not on top of my priority list. Even just then thinking, sometimes my priorities step up when Love Island's on, which that'd definitely be on my Phuket list, never to be on that pile.
It's on mine for a future episode, mate, yes. Absolutely guaranteed, not for any reality TV.
But that's normally the time where I'd get to read quite a bit of a new book, because it means that my wife and two daughters would be happily watching that for some reason.
And they have zero expectations of you for an hour and a half.
Yes, I can go, I'll read my book in peace. Because I don't know about anybody else, but if you want to get your wife's attention, while she's been quiet for a short while, pick up a book, sit down comfortable with a lager or a nice cappuccino or something. They will definitely come and find you and give you a job, or sit down and start talking to you, even though both pages are open. And I think that's quite a good cue for, I don't want to talk. And I know it's really good to talk, isn't it? You know, there's everything around mental health. It's really good to talk. But if I've got a book open, it pretty much means I don't want to talk, Lorna. And she dismisses that. It's like one of these players that goes, oh, there's a red card there. What for? I don't know.
What have I done? What have I done? Yeah. But listen, mate, we could ramble on all day, you and I, but just a quick summary. Three things you got no intention of doing: space travel in Crocs, space travel whilst getting Botox. Any of those things are off your list, mate. You do want to go and see Pink Floyd. Unlike me, you definitely don't want to see the tribute. Well, like me, you don't want to see the tribute band either. I absolutely abhor the idea of a tribute band of any type. And I want to read a bit more, and I definitely want to read a few more autobiographies, including Bob Mortimer. So that's where we are with the Phuket list this week. And for those who are regulars, you'll know that we're trying to start a bit of a movement. This is all about, you know, basically getting your podcast downloaded on whichever platform that you use, sharing the Phuket list with your friends and your colleagues. It's a bit of fun, hopefully. If you've got an idea, a bit of sense of humour, and your own three things you've got no intention of achieving, then get in touch. We'd love to have you on as a guest. I've got a big guest list. There's loads of people seem to see this as a good idea to have a rant, which is great fun. So the Phuket list is now available on Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, Podchaser, Podbean, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. We will be on iTunes very soon. It's just a pain in the arse to try and get on there. We are in the process of doing that. And that is all I can say now is thank you very much, Ben, for being a fantastic guest. Thanks for sharing your Phuket list with us. And thanks for being quite thought-provoking, as I knew you would be.
Thank you very much, Nick. Been a pleasure.
No problem.